Well, welcome to the Repos Isthmian Preview Show, and it's I'm getting better at saying that now. It's a big mouthful, but it's getting easier and easier to say every week now. But you know, it's really happy to see all you guys. Actually, we've got six or seven people watching us live already, so fantastic for you to give your time up on a Friday night to watch the show. And of course, with us as normal, and it's as you might be able to see, probably to my far left, but you're probably to your far right. He's Paul. So welcome, Paul.
Me.
And of course, in the middle, of course, it is Dean. Dean.
Welcome, everyone.
And he's got out of wearing that Santa suit yet again because he's actually dressed up as Snow White tonight doing a pantomime for his kids. So Glenn's not with us. He's actually literally at a pantomime tonight. So unfortunately, we won't have Glenn. But he has given us his he has physically given us his scores and so forth. So hopefully we will go through that as we go ahead. But you guys had a good week?
Yeah, been all right, mate. It's been all right. Away from the family for a week, but it's, going back home tomorrow.
Yeah, mate, I've had a good week. I tried to watch a couple of games Tuesday, but they were called off waterlogged, so not too much football this week, but looking forward to breaking up tomorrow.
Yeah. I suppose... The good thing, I suppose, will be is how many games will actually go ahead at the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't know what the weather's been like where you are, but it's been awful where I am.
Someone's said I said Friday, but I should have said Thursday. But there you go. But it is what it is. But we're here tonight anyway, so doing what we're doing. Yeah, it's
problem with going live.
Yeah, so we're live tonight, not tomorrow night. But there we go. It's been a long week so far. There's still a long week to go. But shall we start then on the games then, and we'll have a look through some of these games. So we'll start off then with the Premier game, Worthing against Bognor. But I suppose one of the things before we go to them is just the I don't know, the form that Haringey Borough in is just unbelievable, isn't it? Nine out of nine.
What's that? Nine wins on the bounce day.
Yeah, nine. That's just incredible.
Yeah, top of league now. So yeah, fair play. We spoke about them. Sort of after they played AFC Wimbledon in the FA Cup and sort of how they'd react to it, and fair play, they brought in Gabriel from St Albans, and he scored a couple during the week, didn't he?
Yeah.
Fair play, nine wins on the try at any level is good going.
You can't knock that at all, Paul, can you, mate?
It's a lovely habit to have, isn't it? A lovely win to have. So fair play, and they could really nail that down over the Christmas period with a few games. And good luck to them. It'd be lovely to see them jump into the Conference South.
It is, and of course, Lewis had the chance to go back top yesterday, and they lost 3-2 away to Mersham.
Yeah, great win for Mersham, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think the side was one of our games is worth in there. You know, if they've got games in hand, if they win their games in hand, it takes them top, doesn't it? It's tough. Once you're up there, it's you want to keep yourself there. Big period coming up with Christmas games, and as you said, Dave, realistically, it's whether they're actually on over Christmas or not.
And if people are wondering what I'm doing, I'm looking away from the camera. I'm not. I'm actually trying to spread the word that we're actually live. So that's what I'm doing on the left hand side. I'm not doing anything else. But so Worthing Bognor. I mean, it's going to be a good game. One that Glenn picked, of course. And I mean, it's on paper, it looks like it's going to be a tough old game.
Yeah, both sides lost at the weekend, didn't they? Mm. Bognor lost 4-1 to Kingstonian, and Worthing lost 2-0 to Haringey. Last Saturday before Christmas, I'm sure there'll still be a decent crowd at Worthing. I fancy Worthing to beat Bognor. I see this week the Bognor player signed for a Scottish team, and it was at Hibs. One of the Bognor players signed
today, yeah.
Hibs.
Yeah.
That's great for him, and good for the club, shows they're sort of pushing players on. I fancy Worthing this weekend.
Mm. Yeah, again, form would say that. Bognor have dropped off of late, but normally a decent side. It'll be a close one. I don't think there'll be loads and loads of goals in it.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things with them, isn't it? You've just got to sort of... they seem to be a team that one day they'll be shooting up the table and have a few good wins, and then all of a sudden they it just seems to fall away again.
Yeah, I mean, they've been like that over the last few years, haven't they? Up and down and doing well. They seem to be that type of club. Mm. But they get a good following, nice grounds, nice place to go. Long way to go, but nice place to go. So, it'll be interesting. Nice local derby.
Would it be one of those games that you'd like to go and see yourself? For, you know, if it was a game that was close to you, would it be one that you'd look at and go, cool, yeah, I want my game to see that one?
Yeah, I said last year when I went with Wingate to Worthing, it was one of my favourite grounds, like going to new ground to go to and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, definitely, and like friendly people there and good crowds. So you go and watch a non-league game, and there's plenty of people there, so it always adds to the sort of atmosphere and stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Christmas coming up as well. Everybody being a buoyant mood, aren't they? So yeah, it would have been a decent game to go and watch. I think I'm with Dean. I think I would probably end with a Worthing win.
An easy win, or do you think it'll be a tough game for him?
No, I think it'd be a tough game. Like I say, Bognor have always been a decent side, and local bragging rights, I think, will come into play as well. And they'll be determined to get back onto a run. And again, as we keep saying, this time of year is the time to get on a run. I think it'll be tough. I think it'll be close. I'd probably edge to 2-1 to Worthing.
Think?
Yeah, I'll go with Paul. I was going to say that as well. 2-1 to Worthing.
Okay, and I was going to go 1-0 Worthing, and Glenn has gone 2-1 to Bognor. So he's actually gone the opposite way. So. Be interested to see why, you know, he's possibly gone the opposite way to us and what he's thinking would be behind that. Do you think they could nick a goal though, Bognor, from that?
Yeah, like, as we said, they're going to be a decent side, Bognor. So, it would be one will go either way. And as you can see, by the way, we predicted the scores. It's very close and we're all very tight. So, yeah, without a doubt, it could go either way.
Yeah, and Bognor be one of the clubs at the start of the season that I imagine a lot of people would think would be up there. So, looking at the league table, they need to sort of get back on track.
I said, one thing I'd say to everybody that might be watching out there in a minute, please, you know, get onto your Facebook accounts, get onto your Messenger accounts, and etc. etc. And let's tweet, you know, just tweet this out, post it out through, you know, Twitter, through Facebook for us as well. Let people know that we're here tonight. Let's get as many people watching these shows as we possibly can. Of course, we do it literally for you guys, and so it'd be great if you could post it all out for us and get this promoted as much as we can. Go on to the next one then. I suppose it's Folkestone against Leatherhead. Interesting game, this one.
Yeah, for me, Folkestone, real tough place to go. I know they're pretty close in the league table. I just can't see Leatherhead going there and getting anything. Folkestone had a good win against Bishop Stortford Saturday. Folkestone at home, good crowd. Always like sort of hard place to go. So yeah, I fancy Folkestone this weekend.
Yeah, on exactly the same points. So yeah, they've had a fairly similar season. In both teams last year, if I'm right, they were up there at one point,
weren't
they?
Yeah, they were,
cool,
yeah.
Both sides. So, obviously both trying to find some form. And again, you know, I'm repeating myself, but this is the time of year to hit a bit of form. And with these leagues, if you look, where are they? They're actually only 5 points off fifth.
Well, we've had two people come in already. One said 3-1 Folkestone, one said 5-0 Folkestone. So,
confident.
So that'd be interesting.
Yeah, confident fans.
And they're both and they're not Folkestone fans either. One of them's a Harlow fan. So there we go.
We went to Folkestone last year with Wingate and got stuffed 5-0, I think it was. So yeah, I've been on the end of one of them ones.
But I mean, you know, it's good again. You know, Folkestone, you know, again, last year had a really, really good run of it, didn't they? You know, right up there last year. And if memory serves you right, they're right in there again this year as well. Even with that chance of getting into the playoffs.
Yeah, and obviously the manager's been there for years, hasn't he? So, yeah, they got Yusuf up front, who's a good striker. I see he scored at the weekend. And he scored quite a lot of goals last season. So, obviously, if they get him firing and continuing to score, they're going to win plenty of games.
Well, someone's just come in and said, Leatherhead are like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, you feel from a bit. It's the new manager did went in, didn't he? I don't know how many players Sammy took with him. but it's you kind of have to start all over again. So yeah, I suppose it keeps it exciting, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be, I think it'll be another tight one. Leatherhead seem to win games that you don't expect them to win, and in games that you expect them to win, they seem to lose.
Yeah, and Leatherhead signed a boy from Hamwell who's doing well. Mm. I think he scored at the weekend as well. So, yeah, fair play. They're looking sort of a players' league below as well.
So, George Pope's just coming and said, not sure where Ter Hoist is back at Folkestone. He's a magician. Ever seen Ter Hoist? No. I've seen him come up a few times, and you know, goal scorers, you know, in previous seasons, I must admit. But Leatherhead, you know, it must have been difficult for him losing the manager, losing the assistant manager, losing half the players as well. It must have been an incredibly difficult situation for them then to actually, you know, put it all back together again and then have another run at it.
Yes, obviously, I have to start again. I know from when I went in at Northwood, I think we had one player from last season. So, yeah, you got to bring in your whole new team. Then it takes a little while for everyone to settle and get used to what you want to do. Mm. So, yeah, it might be Leatherhead are stronger next season if the manager stays and they settle down again.
Mm. Well, Jake Murphy's just said, I'm assuming he means folks, it's just disappeared off my thing, but he said he should have been 5-0 up at half-time, so... That was interest against Harlow, but I don't think, so they're a good side, aren't they?
Yeah, I think if you look at the league table, you automatically go, oh, they're not having a great season. But when you look a little bit closer, 5 points off the playoffs, and, you know, very quickly they could be climbing the league. But that's true for both sides. I think this goes back to what we were saying in the early shows, Dean and Glenn, about having a bit of patience, giving the manager the right time to build the football club. You know, last year they were successful. Unfortunately, that means people start looking at your manager and your players. So let's hope that their people there are patient with him and he's got time to build the club. It seems like a good club. Seems like a good club that are doing well. So, you know, let's hope he gets the time to build it. And never know, after Christmas, they could be right in there in the pack.
Mm. And, of course, going up against probably the most experienced manager in the Bostic League as well.
Yeah, he's been there a long time, hasn't he?
Over 25 years, is it, I think?
Yeah. I think he's
goes to prove again, like we said, you know. Yeah, there is life still in football. You know, fortunately, some people try to do it the right way. You know, people are too quick to pull the trigger now on managers, and you have to. It's very easy to support and help through the good times. That's easy. We can all do that. It's when the bad times come, you know, I'm sure Dean will back me up on this issue. That's when you actually need the support.
Yeah.
That's when backing and the help and the knowledge that they've got your back and you're going to be allowed to turn things around.
Mm, absolutely.
So, well done to them.
Yeah, so what are we going for on this one?
5-0 Folkestone.
I'm going to go for a tight game, 2-1, and Glenn went 3-2 to Folkestone. One on paper, you know, maybe a few weeks back, we looked at and said, well, this game is going to be, a decent game of football, and then all of a sudden they've gone through really sort of a bad spell, but... in the Bostic North, Canvey versus Bowers and Pitsy.
Big local derby, that one, mate. Mm. It'll be feisty, it won't matter where people are in the division. It'll be feisty, local bragging rights again. It'd be a great game to go and watch.
Yeah, Canvey lost at the weekend as well, didn't they, to Witham?
Yeah.
I think we all predicted Canvey win last week.
All of you did, except for me. I actually went for a Witham win. So I was
well tough, yeah. Yeah, fair play, mate. So you got that one right. But yeah, Bowers are flying in. They won again. Got the top scorer in the league. So yeah, you'd fancy Bowers, I suppose.
Mm. And they seem to have a really strong side as well, don't they? As well, they're now Bowers as well. And do you see that, you know, if anybody finishes above Bowers now, that they will win the Bostic North?
Yeah, they've seen the form side, don't they? I mean, Rob's done a great job there. He's been in the league 3 years now, and every year they've been right in and amongst it, and each year they seem to get stronger and stronger. They're the most consistent side, aren't they? Lost once.
Yeah, I mean, George Pope's just come in and said everything we just said. It'll be a 0-0 then.
It might be right.
They've got better each year on year, and that's what you want is to progress. And Sports has done a great job. I think they've only lost once. You're looking during the week with Averley. We said it last week. You know, beat teams like Tilbury. You've got to go and beat them sort of sides if you've got the ambition.
And then Paul, on Monday night, 2-0 down, and literally Averley, extremely poor. For me, on Monday, it was just, all of a sudden, got to the last couple of minutes of the game. They got one almost immediately from the kickoff again, and then from that kickoff, one flashed across the goal line, and ended up could have won it 3-2 Averley, but it was one of those things where, as you say, not in the greatest of form Averley at the moment, but Bowers are absolutely flying.
But at that point, even though it's a home point, that point could be important at the end of the season. Every point adds up, doesn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, they're flying, Bowers, but they're only 2 points in front, and I think, alluding to what I've just said a minute ago, your team, doesn't matter who you are, you're not going to play well all season long. You're going to have them tough times, and you're looking for a bit of character, and I think you have to spin the positive on it. You were 2-0 down. You come back to 2-0, take the positives, move into the next game, and just keep trying to churn out as many points as you can. And I think Dino's hit the nail on the head. Those points will be the important ones at the end of the season.
I mean, one of the things for me with it, I suppose, is with the Bowers situation, with what happened with him last year, leading for quite a considerable time, dropped into the playoff sort of area, and then it was and wasn't successful. If they lose a couple of games, two or three games, all of a sudden they fall off that top spot. Does that sort of, because it's the majority of the same sort of side as well, does that go into your memory? Does that go into your thoughts of, Marmy, here we go again. Could this be happening again for us?
Paul nailed it. Last week or the week before, when he said it's easier to chase. Yeah. And last year, like you say, they were the top, and for whatever reason, they just faded away. And yeah, are they better to come sort of from second or third and chase, because they're top at the moment? Like you say, if they've got a lot of the similar players from last year, but then they might be better off with that experience last year. They sort of been there, done it, and hopefully they'll come back stronger this year.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Maldon as an example. Maldon have done it time after time after time, where they've flown out of the traps, flying at the top of the league. I think the year when Terry was there, it was something like 17 points clear at one point. Of course you can. You can play on your mind, but ultimately it's living and learning from your experiences. And they've had a couple of years of this now. You'd like to think, I'd like to think that Rob will have used experience. And at the moment, they look like they are. They look like they're using the experience from previous years. And fair play to them and good luck to them. I'd like to see him go up. I think they deserve it. They've been the most consistent side over the last 3 years.
But do you think the 3G pitch for them will make difference for them as well? Because maybe we have previous years, this is what's got, they've struggled. What I mean by that is with the weather, they've got a lot of games called off, so they were trying to play catch up as well. Would that then make life a little bit easier for them if them trying to catch up isn't going to be as big a catch up as it has been in previous years, because majority of their home games would have been played anyway? Could that make a bit of a difference? They haven't got as many games in a short period of time at the back end of the season.
Yeah, I think consistency is key, isn't it? You know, you're going to play week in, week out. It's very, very, very important. And you'd expect it generates a little bit of money as well to help. But yeah, I think again, I don't know what you think, Dino. I've never managed a club of 3G, but I imagine that is a massive help.
Well, I'm with you, Paul, on this. I think it's a massive advantage. But, whilst they're playing well and picking up points, I imagine that Rob wants them to keep playing. So, I think that'll be a huge advantage whilst they're playing well. Like you said, Averley have just dipped the last couple of games. If Bowers can win a couple of games at home over Christmas or in the start of January, and then some teams might be called off and suddenly they're 9 points clear or whatever. I'd always rather be top and let everyone chase me, to be honest.
Yeah, games now, the pointless, aren't they, for me? Rather take the points. You'd rather take the points and let's good side of being chased, is when you're 3 or 4 games in front, you've got, you know, 9 points, 12 points clear. Then they've got a job to do. But when you're playing each week, I think it has an advantage. Obviously, I'm assuming it'll have the disadvantage on the side of if you can get a losing habit and you're constantly playing. Sometimes you need a breather to come away and re-look at it. But I understand your point of view, David, of 3Gs. We muck around them and take the mickey out of one another. you have to look here and you have to believe that it's an advantage, that the league don't lie. And yes, you've got some people like Harlow that have struggled, but there's the circumstance behind that. If you actually know what the circumstance behind that is, you understand why they're struggling. So I think it has to be an advantage. It's
not
two teams in the division
on 3G. But is that, I know we've spoken about it previous times before, but is it the case of, if there is an advantage there, it's because of the amount of use the pitch gets, so there's more money in the pot for the manager, or is it a case of, well, it's just because they're playing on a 3G surface? I personally think it's more to do with the fact that if you've got stuff going on there all week and you've got more money in the budget, that's what the problem is, because you can get better players and that's why they're top of the table, rather than the fact that they're actually playing on 3G.
I'd say first and foremost, Bowers have got to pay that money off. That's going to be their first priority, is to pay the 3G pitch off. So I'd imagine, and I may be wrong, I'd imagine that there is not a huge amount of profit out of it at the moment for them. I'd imagine that that's going back to paying back those pitches. I just think that you're consistently playing. You can consistently train and put good, varied training sessions on for the players. And I think the fact that you're used to that surface, it plays a big advantage. I really, really do. At Waltham Abbey, that was a big thing. We would always start, the first half of the season, we'd start brilliantly. We'd do really, really well there. We'd be in and around that top part where you're chasing a playoff play. And if you look at them last year with Joins in charge, fantastic first half of the season, because the pitch was getting games called off over this Christmas period. We went one time, Dave, we went 3 months without a game.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you're any form, any consistency, it goes out the window. It completely goes out the window. So I think with the 3G, you know you're going to play week in, week out. And if you miss one game, you know you're going to be playing the next game. So I just think it has lots and lots of advantages.
And you've got the advantage of, there's less games this year as well in most of the leagues. And obviously you can always keep the players ticking over when you own an Astro and stuff, don't you?
Yeah.
But with games and things like that. So again, listen, they've done well when they didn't have an Astro. But if you look at it in general, most of the teams with an Astro are doing well.
Yep, absolutely. So what are we going for on this one then?
2-1, Bowers.
Dean?
2-0, Bowers for me.
And I'm going to go 3-0, Bowers. And Glenn has gone 2-2. Do you think the guys down at Canvey, you know, that Mark going in there as well, it's different style of play possibly as well, but that's why they're not necessarily picking up the points that you'd expect them to?
Yeah, I think, again, we said it before, manager goes in, wants to put his things in place, things will have to change, players will have to adjust. Danny Hill was there for a while, wasn't he, in charge? Took over from Batch. Was it John Batch that he took over from in the side? I don't remember which I spoke from that, but there'll be different ideas and different things in place. Did they make a huge amount of signings when he took over?
No, bit of a hangover from the playoff final, maybe as well.
And also losing somebody like, you know, George as well. You know, I mean, he's scoring goals. You know, well, a player that you know is going to guarantee you know, plenty of goals during the season, George Sykes, and losing him as well. I think he's at Tilbury now, so that must be a bit of a loss as well.
Yeah, he scored Saturday, didn't he, against Abley?
Mm.
Yeah.
His dad's just reminded me that because he's just come up on a message.
He's a good player. He's a decent footballer, to be fair to him, George. You know, so it has an effect. But a club with the stature of a Canary Island shouldn't have a massive problem attracting someone else like that. You look back in history; they've always had that. They've always had that forward that bangs in goals. You know, Jason was there a long time. Jason Allick was there a long time with Canby. So it must be tough for them at the moment because they've gone from being the biggest club on the island to, you know, they've been left behind, really, haven't they, by Concord?
Mm.
And I'm sure that absolutely grinds on people there. They shouldn't have an issue, but yeah, it's hard to put your finger on it. But again, you go back to what we always say, give the manager time, give him the opportunity to put his ideas across properly, and hopefully they'll pick up and go, you know, start pushing up the league again.
Mm. Absolutely. Well, our next game then is Justin's Barking against Brentwood. And Brentwood have been flying of late. They've been picking up some impressive results as well.
Great 6-0 win away on Saturday, wasn't it?
Mm.
Mildon Hall were struggling a little bit this year. And I see the chairman left this week as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's sort of a few problems maybe going on behind the scenes. But yeah, you go away at this level and win 6-0. That's a great win.
Mm. Well, James Sykes just said Cammy have lost 5 good players, including Pitty to Averley. So that's maybe one of the reasons as well. But yeah, Brentwood, again, you know, one of those teams that, you know, one again, going for a run of, you know, some really good results, and all of a sudden they'll hit a brick wall and start falling away again.
Yeah, I expected Brendan to do well this year. I think I said that last week. I think they made some good signings. They had their hangover last year, didn't they? Struggled as they come down from the Bostic Prep. I think they look like they put some money into the pitch over there. So, you know, you look at some of the pitches that come up, the pitch looks half decent. So I expected them to do well. I did expect them to do well, and they're starting to pick up now.
Yeah.
Barking always tough team to beat, though. If you look at their games, they're always tight. If you look at their goal difference, it's always right as well. I think they scored 20, conceded 22. So, yeah, all their games are normally pretty tight as well.
Yeah. I mean, Barking for me, Justin. I mean, Justin, you know, one of the better managers in the league as well. Very experienced. He was at Averley for a period of time, and of course now at Barking. So, you know, he won't take no slacking off if, you know, in a game or anything like that as well. So it's gonna be a real humdinger, I think. I think Barking, you know, it's gonna be. I think they've just had to spend a bit of money on getting floodlights sorted for him as well. So I think he's, you know, he'll get them running at one stage. I think they, you know, if they get on a good run, Barking under Justin, they'll go close to those playoffs.
Yes, it's tough for a club where they are and whatnot. Financially, they don't look like there's a massive amount of money, and you know, Justin works well in those situations. Big Feversham as Waverley, isn't it, in terms of the way it used to be at Millfield. You know, wasn't the nicest place in the world to go, and the pitch was never particularly great. I went over there early on to their ground because they've got who plays out there, Westfield, is it? Someone like that plays out of there as well in the Essex Senior League. The pitch looked okay, but it wasn't amazing, so I can imagine.
Was it West Essex, is it?
West Essex, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yes, so, you know, again, I think with Barking, who knows what you're going to get? Someone said it earlier with the other lot, you know, Lebred. You just don't know what you're going to get. He's got a couple of my old boys over there, Daniel Chima and Darrell Russell. So, yeah. It's a close one. I think Brentwood will carry on with their run.
Mm-hmm. Dean?
Yeah, I mean, I speak to Justin at Barking. Good manager, and he knows his football. He does his own work before games and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, he prepares his team well. Like you say, Brentwood are flying at the moment. Maybe they'll edge it. 2-1 Brentwood for me.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I've just written down for myself. 2-1 Brentwood. Paul?
I'm going to go 3-1 Brentwood.
Sorry, Justin, because Glenn's gone 2-1 Brentwood as well, so full house on the on Brentwood. I suppose if we then move on to Hayes and Yedding versus Bedford Sports. I mean, what do we think on this one? I mean, Hayes and Yedding, again, we always say that anybody that finishes above Hayes and Yedding will win the league, but will they do it again at the weekend?
Bedford Sports are flying at the moment. Mm. They've obviously, at the start of the season, they were bottom, I think, at one point, or second from bottom. They've gone on a great run, and they had another good win Saturday. Like you say, Hayes and Yedding expected to win the league this year. So, yeah, it should be a good game to go and watch.
Mm.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I've not seen either side, but Hayes really do look, you look at their results, and they're not just beating people, they're brushing people to one side, aren't they? Did you play against them at all, Dean, when you was at Norfolk?
Yeah, not Bedford Sports, Hayes and Yedding. We was in it for 60 minutes, then had a player sent off, and we collapsed, to be fair. But they, they had some good experienced players who know how to deal with a ref, and very experienced. And if the ref's not strong, they can take advantage of it.
Yeah. Another big club, though, isn't it? Another club that have done well in the past. So
being Conference South and all that.
Yeah, they're a point off top with three games in hand. You know, they look like they're the side that are going to go on and win the division, don't they? At the moment, Bracknell have fallen away after their result of the weekend. Who seen that one coming?
No, absolutely. That's incredible.
Play to the ball, yeah.
Yeah, you know, look, I spoke to Paul. I went over there and spoke to Paul a little while ago, which we'll go on to, but with the other game. And I know he was under a little, I felt he was under a little bit of pressure to go and get a result like that. It's fantastic.
They got Brandon Adams from Enfield Town. He used to be a QPR. Very good young player. Not trying to tout him around, Paul, but I'll be surprised if he's a step four for very long.
Yeah,
he's got a hat trick Saturday, I think.
Yeah, I see that. He was banging goals in, but no, like I said, I don't see anything in the Hayes and Yedding win. I think they'll just keep marching on. They look very consistent. Again, they've only lost twice, I think, all said. So, scored lots and lots and lots of goals. I think they'll win 3-0.
Mm.
Yeah, Hayes and Yedding 3-1 for me, and a Lee Barney hat trick.
Hey.
Back getting them extra points.
Yeah, need them. After Bracknell last week.
Yeah, so I reckon it's going to be a 4-1 Hayes and Yedding win. I just can't, as you said, guys, I can't see anything else but a Hayes and Yedding win. A team that seems to pop up quite regularly on this show, Haywards Heath against Horsham. Talking about good results, Horsham with a cracking result again, you know, taking away the 100% record from Cray Wanderers.
Yeah, a 4-2 win for Horsham, wasn't it? The boy got a hat-trick, didn't he?
Yeah.
Both teams are in the playoffs, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think Haywards Heath just outside, but yeah.
Yeah, so it should be a good game.
Mm. Did you see that? Did you see that coming, though, Paul? A Horsham win against Cray last week.
I think I called it, mate. I called the Horsham win, mate.
I'm having a good look, mate. Don't worry. You keep talking. You keep talking, and I'll have a look.
Horsham are on a fantastic run, aren't they, at the moment? Chasing Cray, so it'll be another mouth-watering game, I'm sure, between the two sides. Haywards Heath, I think we spoke about them quite a few times, came up last season, and again, they got a decent result at the weekend, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
I still
he's frozen. Are you there as well, Dean, or are you still you frozen as well? Well, they're frozen for a minute, so hopefully we'll get them back. There he comes. We lost you for a minute then, Paul. So say that, whatever you were saying.
Horsham look a bit like Hayes and Yedding. They're on a march.
Yeah.
They're on a bit of a march. So I think Horsham will win again.
Mm.
Yeah, Horsham 2-1 for me.
Go Horsham 3-1 for me, mate.
And I'm going to go for a 2-0 to Horsham. Guernsey against Three Bridges. So, bottom-ish of the table clash, but it could be an interesting one. I mean, both sides get, you know, had a, you know, not, well, not a bad set of form at the moment, but they've sort of come into a little bit, when, you know, picking up a few points here and there. So it's going to be an interesting game, but it's going to be that travel for Three Bridges that close to Christmas to go all the way over there.
I can't believe I haven't been invited, Dave, to be honest. If there's any Guernsey fans out there, I was looking to go to this one. But, both teams sort of, I don't know, maybe at the wrong end of the table. Great little Christmas trip for Three Bridges. So, enjoy it. Have a bit of banter on the plane and try and come home with a 3 points.
Well, if some of them are off work, it might be, you know, might stay out there a little bit longer.
Christmas do out there.
Yeah.
You know that your missus has got you tickets to Guernsey, didn't you, for Christmas?
I hope so. I've asked Santa, so we'll see.
Well, someone's just said, I wonder what airport they're flying out of. Hopefully it's not Gatwick.
Look, again, another tight one. There's only a point between them in the league, looking at it. At Guernsey, I think it will be a Guernsey win. I'm going to go 2-1 Guernsey.
2-1 Guernsey?
2-0 Guernsey for me.
And I think I'm going to go for a score draw. I'll go for 1-1 in that game. I suppose the game that we've picked for the Andy Wilkins media game of the week is Ware against Chesson. Maybe, again, looking again on paper, maybe at the beginning of the season or early doors in the season, you would have looked at it and gone, why are you picking that one as game of the week? You know, Chesson will be up there and Ware will be right down the bottom, but... Just recently, Ware have been picking up some fantastic results, and when I looked, I think they're right up there, just underneath the playoff places, and going great guns.
Is that another team on Astro, Bob?
It is. I think you might well be right there.
Yeah.
Mate.
There you go.
Just got used to... I briefly spoke about earlier, Ware's a former club of mine. I used to went over and run the youth team over there when Glenn Alzapini was there. Got lots of lovely people that are over there. They've got a lot of new people now. And I went over and spoke to Paul, and he was under a little bit of pressure to get a certain amount of points by Christmas. He believed that they would do so. I think maybe some people would have questioned whether he would have got to whatever the points total was. But if he's not at his points total now, then there's something wrong. You know, what a great job he's done over there with John Frendo and Nicky Bardell. To be sitting eighth, coming from where they were at, I think he's done a great job. So, you know, I'm really, really pleased for him. He's a lovely fella and he works ever so hard for him.
Well, just as James Sykes has just said, you know, great homecoming for Craig as well.
Oh, I'm sure he'd be greeted with open arms. They're very pleased with him over there.
He'll be there longer than he was, I think, 90 minutes.
I'll let you tell him that.
Are you joking, Craig?
Backpedaling now. Look, at the end of the day, it's football. You know, would we all have gone and done that? I don't know. It's a difficult one. I don't know what you're like, Dino, but I've been in jobs and been asked to apply for others and clubs have run me, and I've always believed that you have to stay loyal. Maybe I'm stupid, eh?
Don't always work the other way, mate, does it?
No, unfortunately it doesn't, but I think if you stick to your own morals and what you believe in, that's personally how I've always worked and would always work in the future if I go back in. You know, maybe we are stupid. Well, maybe I am stupid because it never does go back in the other direction. But, you know, look, at the end of the day, Craig, he's gone from there. He's gone to Chesham and felt it was a better opportunity for him to kick on. I suppose you could understand that. The pitch was better at the time, the facility and everything, and the setup at Chesham was a more attractive proposition. Where, Now you look at Ware, I think it's a very attractive place to go and play your football and manage your football, you know, with a Fiji pitch and everything like that. So, look, they have to just get on with it and move on. It is what it is. It's done. It's dusted. It'll be a feisty game. It'll be a good game. And I think it's actually a really difficult one to call.
And of course, you know, as we said, wearing good form, Chesson in sort of what you could say, look, bitty form, I suppose. You know, you never know. Again, of recent, you know, they win a few games, lose a few games, so it's going to be tough. I suppose on form, you possibly might even make Ware the favourites for it.
Again, look at last week. They've just beat Bracknell 7-2. No one would have called it. Mm. Nobody would have called that. You know, Nick, a 1-0 win or something like that. But they've got some good players here, people like David Cowley and, you know, people like that. It's nice to see him stay at a club for longer than 5 minutes. What a good player he is, and he needs to settle down and get his roots. You know, he's had too many clubs and jumped ship too many times for an extra tenner. So, well done to him for staying there. And, you know, they've got some good players. So, why not? Why shouldn't Ware go on and again, have a good Christmas period and get themselves in the playoffs? Be lovely to see it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Paul, at Ware, he's had like five or six boys that have been very loyal to him over the years. The Rose brothers and a few, like Fraser John was with me and Ben Hart was with me. So, yeah, they've stayed loyal to Paul and Paul's kept them. And he's added some quality. And like I said, Brandon Adams, he's got to be one of the best players at step four, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, it's 6 points off the playoffs. It's doable. You know, they beat Chesham Saturday. They dragged them 3 points closer. Put some of the boys up there that were thinking that they were going to walk away with it. The top five, I think everybody believed they were going to start pulling away from everybody, and it's tightened right up. So, no, look, lovely people at Ware from my time, and I'd love to see them go on and really kick on, because they've lost their identity, I think, a little bit over the last few years. I think since Glenn Hazlepedi left quite a long time ago now, they've never really found their identity. I think with the 3G going down, may well have given them that identity back.
Yeah, it's tight. If you look from 7th to 14th, there's 4 points in it. So, a couple of wins, you're back right up there, a couple of defeats, and you're looking like you're near the bottom. So, it can change very quickly.
Mm. The Bits and Bobs League looking like a good league, isn't it, Dave? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And a bit... I suppose as well with it all as well, with that league as well, the interesting thing will be, I suppose that will be the league that you'll look at even like into the likes of next year and go, right, okay, who's going to be in it even next year? Would it, you know, with teams coming down from, you know, from the Prem and others, where do they put each other? Do you know what I mean? All of a sudden that jigsaw league could look completely different again next year.
Yeah, and the sort of so-called teams at the start of the season, most of them are up there, apart from Hartford, who are sort of near the bottom. Hazen, Yedin are up there. Waltham Abbey, obviously, with like the Thurrock team from last year. Bracknell, Chesham, sort of people would say the bigger spenders in that league are all up there. So, be interesting to see sort of what happens the next few weeks.
Yeah, little comment for Waltham Abbey, by the way. What a fantastic result for Billy and Mike Spence last week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, great win.
Really, really pleased for them. What, you know, fantastic to go and beat them. And not just beat them, but score 3 goals against them.
Mm. Great result, absolutely great result. Well, this, what are we going for on this one?
2-2 for me.
Oh, I'm going to go 3-2 to Ware. I think it'll be a high scoring goal game, rather.
Well, I've gone.
I might even venture over there, actually.
Well, I've gone 2-2.
Hey, I might be up for it. Or I might go and watch Becky. Becky's Jason Beck, one of my old players. He's just taken over at Hatfield Town. They got him. Coddy in a sort of relegation battle, so I might be going over there.
And Chesson, he's gone. Glenn's gone 3-1 Chesson. Jake from Harlow Fans TV, he's gone 3-3.
That the Foghorn.
Yeah, that's the Foghorn. It is.
Legend, Jake, you're the legend.
So let's have a look then. I mean, some of the other games that are going on over the weekend. Game going on tomorrow night. Witham against Coggeshall. I mean, how do you see that one?
I'm going to go for a Witham win because I think we upset a few last week, mate, apart from you, Dave.
The secretary was on the Twitter straight away.
He was. He was straight on there. Yeah.
Play they won though.
They did it.
Yeah.
They did.
No, again, you've said it a few times. 3 weeks ago, would you have even contemplated Whittam getting anything? Now, you know, who knows? They could go there and get something. It's a tough place, tough team to go and play against, but, you know, they look like they're hitting their form.
Yeah. James Sykes says, talking of money, and we're talking about Coggeshall. But for me as well, I think Whittam to beat Coggeshall. I've got a feeling that that'll happen again.
Coggeshall for me.
I think it's another one of them, Dave, isn't it? That they've stuck with their manager. They could quite easily have got rid.
Absolutely.
It was going poorly for him. And they've stuck with him. He's stuck with him. And I think I saw a tweet in the week. You know, people are pleased for him. And just stick with people. Give them the chance to turn it around. It was hard for him to go in there. Mm. Taking over from Adam, who I thought did a magnificent job with them. That's why he got the Stortford job, because of such a good job that he'd done there. And someone has to go in and start again with, I don't think, a huge amount of money. So, fair play to him. Yeah, I think we may go there and win.
Yeah, I do as well, I must admit. In the Premier then, at the weekend, on Saturday, it's Hornchurch against Brighton in Sioux Regent. Corinthian Casuals versus Kingstonian. Haringey Borough against Potters Bar Town. Margate versus Whitehawk. Mersham versus Dorking Wanderers. Wingate and Finchley versus Carr Shorten. So, I mean, where do we... other than the ones that Glenn picked, I mean, where else do you see anything interesting there?
Wingate need a win. Wingate need a win desperately. They had a great win against Dulwich in the trophy. Their cup form's sort of been decent this year. But, yeah, in the league, they need a win. They got Enfield Town Boxing Day and Haringey Borough. So, yeah, they need to pick up a win desperately on Saturday.
Not going to be easy playing Carr Shorten.
No, they're doing well this year. Since they've come up.
What about Haringey? Going to carry on 10 out of 10 against Potters Bar?
I think so. The bubble's going to burst eventually. They have to just then, you know, move on. It's done. You lose a game and you have to kick on again. But, you know, just lovely to see what they're doing, mate. Lovely to see what they're doing.
And they're only, you know, they're only a small side, aren't they, as well? You know, they've not often been sort of, they've not been that... You know, come up very small side, the ones that not many people talk about, and then had that real big, you know, kick in the goolie, shall we say, against AFC Wimbledon when they shoot, you know, probably with a better side on the night, and have just gone on an amazing run.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Yeah, I'm
pleased. Coaching staff, don't you? You know, the player at that club, it could have gone completely the other way, but applaud the management there, you know, brilliant job.
Yeah, absolutely. And the chairman's probably one of the best chairmen in the league as well there in Aki as well. Absolutely dynamite guy.
Yeah, nice fella.
Well, let's have a look in the North Division. Not many in the North Division this weekend, other than the ones we've spoken about. Felix Stone-Walton versus Dereham and Great Wakering against Basildon.
Yeah, Basildon are pointing nil this week, didn't they? I know Neil well. His son used to play for my district side, so... I hope he's been on the phone this week to see if I've got a couple of players for him. I wish him well at Basildon.
And wasn't Neil managing Enfield FC at one stage? Is that the same?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And Leyden Orient,
But Great Wakering, I mean, I saw Great Wakering's Monday night or bits and bobs of them, and I was quite impressed with them. And I'm quite surprised at where they are in the league. I thought they were really good.
Yeah, I think, is it Kimball's over there now? He's done well with Whittam, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he's a little bit like Marmite. You either love him or hate him. But, you know, he's an ex-pro. He knows what he's doing. And he's gone in there and you've got to remember, Dave. You've got to remember, he's taken over a club that have just been in the Senior League.
Yeah.
And they've been very much a yo-yo club, haven't they, over the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years. So it's took him a little bit of time. I'm sure he's brought some bodies in. He's, again, difficult side. There's lots of difficult teams. They're such hard league.
Well, let's have a look at the central then. Ashford Town Middlesex versus Hanwell. Chalfont St Peter versus Marlow. Chipstead versus Tooting and Mitcham. FC Romania versus Bracknell Town. Hertford Town versus Waltham Abbey, South Park versus Molesley, and Westfield versus Egham.
Derby. Yeah, that'd be a good game.
I think they both won at the weekend as well, didn't they? I think the Hertford win, I'm sure they did, didn't they?
No, they lost to Romania.
Oh, right, I'm okay. So where'd you see that one? Would you say Waltham Abbey favourites to win that one then?
Yeah, I'd say so. They're struggling a bit, Dino. I've watched them twice, and to be fair, they popped the ball around, but they lost quite a few players, didn't they?
Yeah, and someone broke into the clubhouse this week as well, didn't they? I saw that as well.
Yeah, I know at the start of the season there was a lot of talk about them winning the league and sort of they signed some sort of big money players as such and they're sort of at the wrong end of the table now. I think they've won one in 12, 13 games, so they desperately need a couple of wins.
Yeah, they rode the crest of a wave last year, didn't they? I mean, coming up when they weren't expecting to and I think I think sometimes people don't realise how hard it is. He's tough. These leagues are very, very difficult leagues. And you've got to have something about you to keep your team constantly churning out your results. And maybe they're just being found out a little bit.
I know the crowds are down this year because they were getting good support at one time, weren't they? But the crowds seem to be down at Hertford this year.
Moving on to the South East Division then, we've got Herne Bay versus Hivetown, VCD versus Greenwich Borough and Whiteleaf versus East Grinstead and then Cray against Sittingbourne on the Sunday. Did you hear Keith's rant on Monday night about his referee?
I see his tweet and I see that he wasn't a happy bully, but I haven't listened to it yet, mate.
I saw his tweet and I knew what was coming, so I thought I didn't really need to listen to it, mate, to be honest.
You want to tell him to stop beating around the bush and get to his point.
Yeah. But he, I mean, all fairness, you know, he was there and he gave his the situation exactly what supposedly happened on the night, on the day as well. But other than that as well, he comes up with some brilliant ideas of how to solve the refereeing issue in this country and in non-league and stuff. And he went on a bit there and with Mickey Collins as well, the two of them, you know, came up with a great idea of, you know, of how to do this. And, you know, like people go through training to be a coach or go through training to do this. Why is there not training sessions for the referees, you know? And he went into in depth exactly how he felt he should, you know, he could improve the refereeing. And when you think about it and listen to what he was saying, you couldn't argue with anything he was saying at all. And it was just a really good idea that you would hope that somebody, an FA, an Essex FA or FA itself or whoever, would actually listen to him rather than listen to the negative stuff that he might say about refs, but listen to the positive stuff that he tries to put in there as well to actually make the referees better.
Yeah, and he's managed for a long time, hasn't he? Mm. So he's seen a lot of games of football and he would have seen the good ones and the bad ones, like players and managers alike. But yeah, sometimes if it's nice to be able to talk to a referee sometimes without them sort of trying to send you off for talking, or sort of they've got an assessor behind them and they're not allowed to talk to you or let the game flow. So it's listen to people. We all love football. Why not listen to people that are trying to help you?
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, none of us enjoy go at a referee or have a go at a linesman. I think that sometimes we go over the top. I think there are times where, you know, people have to realise you're under pressure as a manager as well. You're under proper pressure. Just because it's non-league football doesn't mean there's no pressure there.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as long as you don't cross the line and start becoming ridiculously abusive with someone, I think there has to be a discussion between both. We don't want to ever go at referees. We don't want to ever go at linesmen. If it wasn't for them, we couldn't play the game.
And I mean, if you look at it as well, Paul Dean, I mean, you know, we always go on about, oh, that player there, Jamie Vardy, I was playing against him last season, or this player here, you know, I managed him and he's now in, you know, in professional football. Wouldn't it be nice if we could turn around and say, oh, look at that referee that's actually reffing there on the Sunday, on the Premier League, on Super Sunday. He was reffing us, like, you know, 3 or 4 years ago in the Isthmian League. And I remember when we did this, and you could have that discussion about a ref. I mean, we said Monday night, Abby Byrne, who was reffing a match between, I think it was Romford and Brighton Sea, when Brighton Sea won the league in the North. I think it was this week or end of last week, has now been made a FIFA referee. You know, what a, you know, what a step for her. You know, that's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, even up to the other week, she was actually reffing Arsenal ladies versus Man City ladies live on BT Sport. I mean, that's just, you know, fantastic.
I think the thing is that all the talk about at the moment is VAR this, VAR that. So that's not going to be cheap, is it? It's going to be a lot of money because they want to help the referees. You're not going to get VAR in non-league. It's not going to happen. So where does the help come for those? They need help. They need education. They need an understanding, I think. I think sometimes referees are people that possibly haven't played the game to any real standard. That's why they're referees. I don't mean that in a derogatory way whatsoever. And I think there has to be common sense and understanding of certain things that go on.
I just think win, lose or draw, Paul, you just don't want to be talking about the referee at the end of the game.
No, you want to be beaten on a little bit of skill, a little bit of quality from the opposition, or you want to win the game by that. And walk away and go, look, we were unlucky. Yeah, the last thing you want to be saying is the referees cost us the game. Again, I'll reiterate, we are under pressure. Managers are under pressure. Not us at the moment, you know, because we can't do it. But we're under pressure, real pressure.
Well, Jake's come back and said they shouldn't tell them they're being assessed. We never know when we're getting a mystery shopper in a shop, so why should they be told they're being assessed? And let's say we brought up Monday night. Why tell them that they've been assessed? Because the common sense that they referee with goes straight out the window.
Yeah, we said that a million times. They just change. If they just change, you know, it's ridiculous. Assess them on a real game where they don't know you're there.
They'll
learn more.
Couple of bits for you before we go. I mean, we also lost a referee's assessor, great guy, Keith Miller as well, the Essex FA. Did you ever get the pleasure to meet Keith?
Me? No, I know Keith very, very well.
Yeah.
Lovely man, really, really was. Knew my family, you know, knew my granddads and everything like that. And, devastated, mate. I was absolutely devastated when I saw the news. Couldn't have been a nicer man, done everything for you. And you know what? When you spoke about referees, was one of the most honest assessors I've ever met in my life. Gutted, absolutely gutted by the news. And I wish his family all the very, very best. And send my condolences and my family's condolences to them.
Dean?
Yeah, I echo everything Paul said. Especially at this time of year, it's a terrible time to lose someone. So, yeah. Condolences to all his family and friends.
I said one thing away from our show. There is a young man out there at the moment and doing a fantastic job as well for non-league football, and he's really sort of putting himself out there on the sort of like the Isthmian scene and non-league scene, you know, in the area, and putting a heck of a lot of effort and his own personal time and money into what he's doing. And so it gives me a great pleasure just to say, like, you know, he's going to be joining us in early January on the other show. And, of course, that is Jake, who does the podcast every week. And it's a great watch, great listen. And I would just say to anybody out there, if you like the show that we put out on a Monday and also on a Thursday show Friday, give Jake a call. Give Jake a listen. He's managed to get himself a sponsor this week as well, which is fantastic news for him as well. But give him a listen. He puts a lot of effort into it, does a lot of stuff for Harlow Fans TV as well. So if you get the chance, you know, try and have a listen to him, and just put in the podcast into Facebook or Twitter or whatever else, and it'll pop up, and you'll get to listen to Jake, and you'll realise why he's called the Foggle. Trust me when you see it. But he's a fantastic watch, fantastic listen. A guy puts a lot of effort into it, and I wish him all the very, very best with what he's doing with his show as well. Really look forward to talking to him face to face at the beginning of January. So, guys,
yeah, I can echo that. Dave, I invited Jakey to Norfolk Wingate. He come in the changing room with us, and he done a few bits, and yeah, the players loved him. So, yeah, give him a follow and give him a what?
Yeah, he does a lot for my charity as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he's organised the game and everything like that, and it's very very much in the news at the moment. So yeah, anyone out there, give him a watch and help him if you can. I think, you know, he's desperately trying to get enough money to be able to carry on doing it.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Sure.
Definitely. I mean, so guys, what are you up to over Christmas?
I travel back home home tomorrow from where I am. I'm down in Gosport. So I travel back home tomorrow, and that's me done for 3 weeks, spending the time with my little boy. Be around my dad for Christmas dinner. Round my uncle's for Boxing Day. Don't know if I remember much of that. And then I fly to Lanzarote in the new year.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Tough life, Paul's got,
eh? Unbelievable, yeah. There's me working double shift tomorrow, working all the way up till Christmas Eve, then back again day after Boxing Day, and that's it.
Oh, well.
Dave, what about yourself?
Yeah, all family, mate, and kids, and mum and dad, and sort of seeing people maybe you don't see as much during the year, and all that sort of stuff. Still catch a bit of football, stay in the loop and watch a couple of games over the Christmas period just to get out of the ass a little bit as well, a bit of fresh air. But yeah, looking forward to, I break up from school tomorrow, so looking forward to having a couple of weeks off.
Lovely. Yeah, sounds good. Listen, guys, it's been fantastic talking to you again tonight. Have a great Christmas, both of you, and of course to Glenn as well. And we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with the show, but until then, everybody have a great Christmas. Don't forget, follow the podcast as well, spread the word about this show as well, and then the three of us and Glenn will see you again in 2 weeks' time. Good night.
Merry Christmas.